Okay, this is October 10th. We're on the 1000 line. Jerry Phillips, Randy Weiss, Amber Ross, me, Bob Zybak, and we're making oral history recording, and we've all agreed that these words can be used on the internet and so on. So, Jerry, is anybody? Let's see, Randy, do you have anything to say?
I do not.
Okay. Amber?
No.
Okay. Jerry, we're on the Thousand Road. It used to be a railroad grade, and we're by the old logging camp. Can you say the history of this road, kind of tell us what happened here?
Well, this was all privately owned land where we are until the 1920s. I met the man who had worked for the Beener and Stout Logging Company. They were the ones that built the railroad. And his job was to go out ahead up the canyon here and to decide which land they should buy for logging. This railroad had seven bridges across Marler Creek, and included some inclines up some of the steep ridge ground to harvest there. The logs were all moved out of here by railroad and splashed in the Milacoma River down by Allegheny, down to their mill in the Coos Bay North Bend area. When we came in here in 1955, and when the Elliott Forest became under management by the State Department of Forestry, we decided that bridges are difficult and expensive to maintain, so we tried to relocate this road in many places so that it wouldn't have bridges.
Was it still a railroad grade at that time, or were they using it for automobiles?
Oh, it was it had been abandoned.
Uh-huh.
So in probably sometime in the I'm going to guess in the mid-40s, it was abandoned for use. And the fire patrol, Coos Fire Patrol, tried to maintain it for a while because this was considered a high hazard area for a fire possibility. So they just kept it marginally open for that.
What was the reason for the fire? Is it old buildings and logging debris?
It's because of the old logging debris from the railroad days.
Uh-huh.
So there were a lot of snags and unburned slash in here that was a possible fire area.
So when you opened this up in 55, it was poor logging, and you're like realigning the railroad. Was there still any of the old railroad shacks or any of the logging equipment or anything here?
Just upstream where we are now.
Yeah.
Maybe another 2 miles up from here, there was a blacksmith shop.
That's where we want to stop next.
Because, of course, the railroad itself had engines and log cars, so that called for a lot of maintenance, including blacksmith work. That became kind of a landmark, whereas if something was above or below the blacksmith shop.
Uh-huh. With the spur right here, where did this go?
This spur took the place of an old incline, it was too steep for a road, and besides, what they were doing was railroad logging. So they would put an incline up some area. It was just a little bit upstream from here. and with a donkey up on top to lower these loaded cars down to the bottom where the main line, where the railroad main line was.
Uh-huh.
So this, we converted this into a road. There was a long corner of old growth, mostly red cedar, clear up at the end of this two-mile road to the left. And in those days, it was considered you could spend $10, $10 a thousand, on building an access road.
Uh-huh.
And that was a kind of a board-imposed limit. So that gave us $20,000 to build this 2 miles of road.
Uh-huh.
And since it was all dirt, it was possible. There was no rock to be blown in building this right here.
Uh-huh.
Our engineer was brand new as George Shore. And part of his original job was to lay out this 2 miles of dirt road to reach that long corner of old growth.
If I want to take a photo that approximates the photo of the logging camp, would it be from this?
I said just right, maybe 100 feet up here.
Oh, okay. And then this incline here, this is built to go back to old growth cedar?
The incline was a little further upstream.
So
this is where our engineer decided to put the road.
Uh-huh.
Since it'll be all dirt here.
Uh-huh. But I mean, where did this road go?
It goes up onto, it's called South Marlow Ridge.
Uh-huh.
That's the name we gave it. South Marlow Ridge Road.
Yeah.
And it goes and dead ends maybe 4 miles up here on the ridge top.
Is there any reason to drive this road?
I don't think so.
Okay. It just goes up to an old cedar.
Well, to a number of old harvest areas.
Oh, okay.
We've done quite a bit of harvesting on this road.
Yeah.
A lot of hardwoods, a lot of red alder.
Uh-huh.
But there's some hemlock and not much fir because that was all harvested in the railroad days.
Yeah.
So this, all you see is young fir and alder.
Uh-huh.
Up the ridge.
So the alder was followed the original logging.
Yes, that's
it,
right.
It wasn't an understory or anything.
And that's what you see all as we go up this road.
Yeah.
All this alder and maple.
Yeah.
Is from that railroad logging days.
But when the railroad logged it was old growth Doug fir.
It was fir and cedar, of course, red cedar.
Uh-huh.
And not some hemlock. Now I don't know if they actually hauled the hemlock out or not.
Uh-huh.
Hemlock's always been considered to have a very, very low value species,
yep.
So they might not have hauled it out.
Uh-huh. So let's see, about where that elderberry is, about where the photo would be?
Where the patch of alder is right here.
Oh, okay, I'm not going to wade through the blackberry. I'll take a picture of it at the location.
Yeah. The picture was taken back this way.
Okay. I'm going to take a quick picture. I can leave that running.
Okay.
Today, this is considered to be quite a fishery stream.
Mm.
The biologists really like it. It has three or four species of fish that use it. I think steelhead and coho and of course trout.
How do you pronounce the name of the town that was here, or the logging site?
Well, it
logging
was a
camp?
It was a Beener and Stout Logging Company.
Beener and Stout.
I think it's B-U-E-H-N-E-R.
Okay.
Something like that.
Can either of you think of anything to add, Jerry, right here? Oh, what was the original name? Was it just called the railroad grade, or when you made it into a road, what did you call it?
Just the Marlow Creek Road.
Marlow Creek Road?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And they got a number assigned later on, but that was, originally it was just called Marlow Creek Road.
Oh, okay. And then it became the Thousand.
Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons it became a main road is because it's, the land is co-mingled up here between Weyerhaeuser and State.
Yeah.
And the Weyerhaeuser done a lot of logging.
Yeah.
And one of the first things we did here was to enter into a mutual road agreement. Uh-huh. with Weyerhaeuser.
Uh-huh.
So that they would pay for their share of the maintenance.
Yeah.
Every year. So we got together and calculate how much volume we hauled over the road, how much the Weyerhaeuser hauled over the road. Uh-huh. And then they would pay their proportionate percent. And we simply used their contribution, uh-huh. not really contribution, but their share,
yeah.
for maintenance, including the lower end down here where we were on pavement there for a while. We used their share to cover some of the maintenance costs.
Uh-huh. It's
worked out very well.
Is there anything between the old logging camp here and the blacksmith shop that you can think of to stop or look at or consider?
We'll come to Y Creek.
Uh-huh.
That is where the incline came down the hill.
Yeah. Okay. So. Anything?
Nothing else I can think of.
Okay. Let's see.
See, maybe it is that we can stop briefly and look at where the two stream crossings were that we filled in and built a bypass for the creek.
Is that where you rerouted the creek?
The channel change. Oh,
I was really interested in that. That's one of the things I got listed. Okay, let's stop there next.
We'll go to that, right?
Oh, and that's before White Creek?
It is.
Okay.
How many hours did
you
get?
A lot. I guess.
Okay.
There were almost simultaneously three of these channel changes that were made.
Uh-huh.
One is the one here on state land.
Yeah.
One on Weyerhaeuser,
yeah,
up in Oklahoma, and one on BLM up for the Blue Lake.
Uh-huh.
And one on Weyerhaeuser was converted back to this, like this one has been.
Uh-huh.
At the request of Fish and Wildlife. And I don't really know now how that was financed. There are these watershed organizations today that I know nothing about, really. And they may have helped finance this channel change reconversion.
Uh-huh. So this is one of three channel changes?
One of three.
But it's the only one on state land?
That's right.
Okay.
State. And what that was... That was to eliminate two ridges.
Uh-huh.
You have the seven bridges.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles song, Seven Bridges Road. Uh-huh. Like that.
Are you an Eagles fan?
I am. Statler Brothers and Eagles and Neil Diamond. Had a lot of rock poured on over all the years. Of course, the Elliott Forest has no good road rock, so it's all been purchased and brought in. We always thought that someday we'd find some good road rock because it's around us in two different places, but it's not in our ownership.
Uh-huh.
And of course, this road was originally a dirt road. It wasn't rock till later because it couldn't afford to put rock on it initially.
So that just meant it was seasonal?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's a lot of elderberry through here. Are there any pure patches of elderberry?
I don't think so.
Okay. Hello.
Everyone kind of understands that all the roads back here are single lane with turnouts.
Right.
And we have a road maintenance contractor. We've used every way I think anyone's ever devised to maintain the roads, alternate systems, except for owning equipment. We never wanted to own any road maintenance equipment. We had all different systems of maintenance sharing.
There you go.
That's what I was one of the kind of terrifying things. Mini rock trucks. That's one of the, that was one of the big worries. Because rock truck drivers tend to drive too fast.
Right.
They're being paid by the load, so they do them fast.
If you see one of these markers, that's...
Yeah, I know. Just wondering if I can get
inside him.
Yeah,
he's got a little bit of a pull out there.
He's got a little more of a shoulder here than.
Yep.
There, it looks good.
Now that's Glenn Gould's. Dave Gould's company.
Most of the rock on here is from Gould's, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And on Weyerhaeuser.
Because it was the closest quarry.
Uh huh.
And up the north end of the forest, it's all from the Umpqua River. It's all river rock, which is very hard and very good rock, but you have to crack it.
Yeah.
This is where the channel changes right here.
Okay, so here. Yeah, we have a pull off there.
Yep, we do.
Photo of that too. We got a photo in the book. One of the good advantages with Jerry is not very many people write their whole history out ahead of time, so you can
mm-hmm.
you have to kind of make up things as you go. With Jerry, it's all lined out. Jerry, you want to, while I'm taking a photo here, where's the channel change at specifically? Is it right up here against this rock wall here?
Yeah, well, it starts up here.
Uh-huh.
About 100 feet there. So, and it goes the old channel. Which is now being used again, but we try to bypass it.
Uh-huh.
Put a bypass right here. Of course, the Fish and Wildlife originally said, "Fine, that's good, it's okay."
Yeah.
Then later, maybe what 5 years ago, 6 years ago, uh-huh. they decided they did not like it anymore. Uh-huh. They wanted to use the original channel.
Uh-huh.
All three Weyerhaeuser and BLM and here, so that's what happened.
So they put in culverts instead of bridges is what
yeah.
they do to...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You can get your seatbelt there.
Oh.
There it is.
That's it.
Picture in the book where they're cutting through right through here.
Yep.
We can take a picture of you together.
Oh.
Oh, let me. Then we'll know who the voices are.
Take a picture of me falling off the road.
I know you got the recorder, right?
there were two railroad bridges here.
So the railroad bridges would have been
right here.
Right here,
and went down here.
Okay. And so this stream runs up this way?
Well, it comes down here.
And this, so this is the feeder?
And then it runs this way, okay. And then it runs back into the main.
It looks like there's a feeder stream.
Well, there'd be a little in there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Would be a little.
Uh-huh. Since you're on GIS, will you be able to test these and see where they're located? Good.
Yeah, I've been taking points.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to find way back to them.
Yep.
And I think we're getting located pretty well. Wow.
It's incredible how much a man can change the landscape.
That was a lot of dynamite through here when they're ready to get this cut through here.
Sure was.
Man. Right down to bedrock. I guess the creek would have done that. They would never allow that now. Yeah, that's a major engineering.
Well, originally Fish and Wildlife figured out that fish passage was not a problem. The grade was such that it did not inhibit fish passage. Mm-hmm.
Why'd they decide to take it back to the other side? Any idea?
I never heard the argument. They're trying hard to cooperate with Fish and Wildlife. Brother agency there.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. And I think there was some cost sharing. I don't think this was...
So this is busy work? Or was this
No.
I mean, what was the rationale for it?
I never heard... I mean, well, originally it was to eliminate the two river bridges.
No, I know that. But, I mean, why did they go to the expense of putting it back after this was already in place?
Had to talk to a fish biologist.
Okay. Yeah, another question... All that second growth through there, is that since it was logged last time, or was that
the railroad logging.
Was that aerial seeded or naturally
just seeded? Just natural. They didn't do anything. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, the reforestation laws didn't start in until 1958, something like that.
So these would go back to the 20s and 30s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So about 80, 90-year-old stand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know of any, I've never heard of any fire history uh-huh. to this canyon.
Uh-huh.
You think it would be. And I would say there was, but just not the whole thing, probably just individual places accidentally burned.
Well, did the railroad company, didn't they burn up land on purpose?
I don't know if they did.
Uh-huh.
I never heard that they did.
Maybe that's why it's high fire danger, because they didn't.
You know, there was a law in Oregon back in the 40s that required the burning of slash.
Yeah.
And that went okay until the Silver Falls fire of, I don't know what year that was, up by Silverton
uh-huh.
in Oregon. And now it's where Silver Falls State Park is. There. And they burned as they were required by law to burn. And it got away, it burnt almost the whole park there.
Oh, wow.
Of course, it wasn't a park in those days. And it was under a big, huge lawsuit from people who were damaged by that fire.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the law right there. The law stopped. They no longer were required to burn. They could burn, but they weren't required to.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, they were happy to not do it because there's a cost to doing it.
So here is probably they figured it was wet enough and close enough to the coast. But they had a railroad. They need a lot of firewood for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, but no fire history. This is outside. Would these have been 200-year-old trees approximately when they logged them?
I'd say 160.
Same as Weyerhaeuser, yeah. Millicoma.
Yeah.
Okay. So they may have burned about 1750 or 1770, but nothing since then.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, let's see. The next stop is...
So this ownership, this private ownership, which then
it became, as a tax default, became Board of Forestry property. Goes to the ridge, to the main ridge line up here, and that's when it hit the reprod that was the Elliott Forest. That ownership just right along the ridge top, and the fire of 1868 hit the young Weyerhaeuser timber and went out. No doubt the weather was a factor too.
So that the ridge line up there is the boundary of the 1868 fire.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. So they would have been inside of that. They would have had, like say, about 180 year old stand from the earlier fire or afforestation, yeah. Whatever happened. Okay. Well, that sure is interesting. You don't see that very often, where they put in a whole new channel like that. That wouldn't happen in the last 30 years, I don't
think.
So
that was done. You know, was that on Weyerhaeuser? There's one of those, and on BLM up by Loon Lake.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was another channel put in to limit bridges.
Yeah. Well, and then, that fishing thing says that they were blowing holes in some of the waterfalls to make a better incline for the coho. So that's where they weren't even spawning before. So those are pretty major changes. Well, White Creek, is that the next stop?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that will be easy to stop there.
Okay, I mean, just slow down and point it out.
Pretty much.
Take a reading or something.
Pretty much.
Engineering feet right there.
Mm-hmm.
Take out two bridges.
Seven Bridges Road.
Seven Bridges Road. Wow.
I got a ticket the other day for not having the seatbelt. And Tuesday they had click it or ticket day. Oh boy.
So I'm just recording points, stop one, stop two.
Oh, good.
Identifying, logging.
And then I think I got a lot of these pre-identified because of the book. That logging camp one is amazing. Talk about an archaeological site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to picture with all the vegetation in the way of the view. Yeah.
Well, I think people don't realize how dynamic and resilient forest land is.
There's virtually nothing.
Is this White Creek here?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's White Creek.
Okay, and so this is where the incline was that they loaded the logs.
Came down the hill.
Okay, and then the other road that we first stopped at, that curves around up to there.
Yep.
Okay.
And pass.
Yep. Okay.
This is just a curiosity here.
Uh-huh.
Right here in the creek stood a black cottonwood tree.
Yeah.
We use a kind of reference point. We apparently had been brought in by the railroad.
The black cottonwood?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Must have been. I mean, nobody intentionally did.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it must have come in on some as a result of railroad activity. Uh-huh. There stood that probably 24-inch black cottonwood tree, which is, of course, totally out of its natural range.
Yeah.
Finally, the beavers killed it.
Uh-huh. So that's when the first invasive, they got the blackberries now. Were there any thick patches of thimbleberries through here?
I don't recall any.
Okay. And having logged through it before like they did, that would kind of tear any of that apart anyhow, I think.
You know, there really weren't any brush fields.
Uh-huh.
Except the one, the big salmonberry patch on the 10-mile Butte Road.
Salmonberry on what road?
Ten-mile Butte.
Oh, okay.
Were just, you know, impenetrable patches. We tried to drag enough logs through it to kind of scarify it.
I wonder what I did with my... Oh, there it is. It got old in this place.
I heard a log truck coming.
More rock.
More rock.
We shouldn't be to the log trucks yet, and the log trucks should be going out the north. From about the 7 mile.
They're going out the north?
What I was told.
Well, this is probably warehouse logs are coming out here.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Where's this salmonberry patch at? 10 mile.
10 mile Butte Road.
Continue on.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. The next stop is the blacksmith shop.
Yes. Now I'm going to have to look hard to try to remember where, because now there's nothing to see. It's just from the right hand side, and I'm going to have to use my memory to try to identify where. It's just a wide spot in the road.
Right there now.
We're going through a railroad branches up all these main tributary creeks.
So there's old railroad grades up each of the tributaries.
Yeah, there were.
Did those get kept open as trails or used for logging again, or is it just all been bypassed?
Yep, except young alders. Several years ago, one of our folks brought back to the office a piece of that railroad steel from one of these canyons.
Yeah.
So is the blacksmith shop actually still standing? Is that why it was a landmark? Or
it was, huh?
Uh-huh.
Two big red cedars. That was another kind of landmark. Uh-huh. And this up here to the left, this fork is called Pile Driver Creek.
Pile Driver Creek, right here.
Which we always assumed, see, we tried to use old names, which always could.
Yeah.
And we assumed that was the name was given because they must have used the fur, must be just the right diameter for getting piling to maintain the railroad. So when we sold that timber up here, we called it the pile driver alder sale, and people in our Salem office were quite amused by that. They just... They couldn't. Those two words didn't go together. Pile driver alder. Just because it was an alder sale.
Yeah.
On pile driver creek.
Was the sale from down here or up along the ridge off that road that we looked at?
We had a little spur road from here went up the hill.
Oh, okay. What's that pile of stuff right there? Is that an old?
I don't know what that is.
Huh. It doesn't look very normal.
No. This is artificial.
Good.
So there is a little bit of cedar still in the canyon here. The elk love to eat it, so it's hard to grow in there.
What's your idea on this land through here? You think eventually the alder should be logged off and reforested to an earlier condition?
It's probably right in here somewhere, that blacksmith shop was. I've tried to identify it in later years myself, and it's hard anymore to see it. There's still a place or two where you can see the railroad piling in the creek. You know, that section
Was the shop on the other side of the creek?
No, it's on the right-hand side.
Uh-huh. Looks like there's a bench up there.
Yeah. It's an old flat part out of here.
It's just a little wide spot, though.
I need Velcro for that recorder.
No, we'll have to...
There's some bungee cords we can zip it tight. Something. I can pull up here off the road better.
Got my degree. I did historical archaeology, so things like the blacksmith shop and old railroad trestles and things like that were what we were looking for.
Oh,
squeeze in right next to you there.
There's a handle back here.
Okay. At least I keep it reasonably stable.
Is there a second one?
Yep, there is.
Now, Coos County is been angry with us for a number of years.
Uh-huh.
We're not doing more harvesting in here.
Oh.
Because, of course, the income goes to the county.
Yeah.
But the fact is, that, of course, the county doesn't appreciate that, it's almost all controlled by the riparian vegetation rules.
Uh-huh.
So, virtually everything in here that you see is restricted to harvest due to the riparian laws.
Wow.
And they don't appreciate that because on the county forest,
yeah,
that rule doesn't ever get used.
Huh.
It should,
yeah,
but the county and the state just choose to ignore it on the county forest.
So it's just the Elliott or the school land.
Well, right, this is where it's enforced.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Or any private land that the forest practice
on. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to be everywhere, but, you know, law enforcement is that way, of any kind, you know, by the highway department or whoever it is. Enforcement of any law is kind of selective.
Yeah.
As grown-ups, we all kind of understand that.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad they say you can't drive from where you work to your home without breaking a law of some kind. You know, some traffic rule.
Yeah.
You're going too slow, too fast, you touch the center line, you didn't use your turn signal quite soon enough. So, and I'm thankful they don't call all of us.
Yeah.
Or we'd all be in jail.
But it, so this is private land right through here?
This is county. Well, it's State Board of Forestry.
Okay.
It's State Board of Forestry.
Managed for the
which
county.
Which means it's, right, it's managed by the Department of Forestry.
Uh-huh.
But because of that, the old law applies there that like, three-quarters of all the revenue goes to the county.
Yeah.
Is it three-quarters or two-thirds?
About two-thirds.
Yeah.
It started out being about three-quarters, but then it finally changed to about two-thirds.
We are...
Uh-huh, okay. Well, I guess the only question I got on the blacksmith shop, it's gone. Something happened to it. But there's around, they've got a lot of fire and a lot of charcoal and a lot of metal. There seems like there'd be some kind of traces of it.
There probably would be.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I've tried for several years to pick out where it was. I've shown myself to it.
Continue on?
Yep.
Okay. Let's see, what's the next stop then?
Well, it'll be where, it wouldn't need to be a stop, but up here ahead of us is where...
next point of entrance.
It was the end of the old railroad bridge.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate when we were working in here originally, we had to walk from where the state highway started, where we left state highway.
Yeah.
So often we drove for 3 hours, we walked for 3 hours, and we worked for 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
Typical day. Lots of cork boots got worn out. They are.
Would that be?
Wow. So that'd be from the trestle?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, these are, a lot of it was elevated on trestles, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
Those piling up part of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're all at the same height.
Yeah.
They probably came from pile driver credit.
Probably did. Which meant that timber had was a little bit younger.
Yeah. Look at this rock right over here,
yep.
Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
That's similar in certain ways with the vegetation that pile we saw back there that was definitely artificial, but this is like the...
That's just bedrock there.
This is solid rock.
Yeah. Wow.
Ordinary Taiyi sandstone.
So you said the next point of interest was the end of the railroad grade?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure it's a point of interest, but it's the next thing I like, just comment up there.
Okay.
Coming to you.
What draw is this right here?
Well, a lot of these don't have names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a tributary.
Yeah.
What do you know about Chief Marlowe? Anything about him?
Really nothing that I really know. It may be that the Coquill Indians have something. Uh-huh. I don't know that. And we don't know that the Indians spent any time up in this country at all. There's really no reason to. They had all the fish and shellfish and deer and so on that they wanted that down where they lived.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't say, this is for no railroad grade. They went on up this right hand fork.
So the old railroad grade goes from this point
up there, and a short distance, maybe another. Maybe a quarter mile and stops.
Did they log all the way up to the ridge line up there?
Probably did, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So it was a pretty big operation.
Oh, yeah, it was. I no doubt they were here for probably 3 or 4 years.
Uh-huh.
So then this is all truck road.
Okay.
It was built for trucks.
So this is where, when you were logging off old growth in the 50s, it was to build this road right through here?
Right. Our first hill was here in 58.
Uh-huh.
The purchaser was required to build this road.
Uh-huh.
8 1/3 miles of roads.
So this is the first road sale on the Elliott?
Well, no, the one at Cougar Pass was before that.
Uh-huh.
Again, that was a patch of old growth up there. So that's what the board policy was, cut the old growth first.
Yeah. Well, with Cougar Pass, was that like from a sale in the 40s? If this is the first, or did...
Well, this was the first sale in the south end of the forest.
Oh, okay, got it.
But that up there was in about a year earlier, about 57.
Oh, okay. So where was Marlow Creek number one, say, lap?
Top of the ridge.
Oh, okay. And then over or just along the ridge?
Well, it was, we'll see if we get to it there.
Oh, okay.
So now this is on Weyerhaeuser here.
And it kind of looks like it. I did inventory for the Coquels a few years ago, and we had a lot of fresh clear cuts, a lot of land I probably planted trees on in the 60s.
Well, Chris, this has all been planted, but it takes a few years for it to be visible. Then that truck road, there was a kind of a very low standard truck road that went up this ravine. I mean, we didn't do that. It was a Weyerhaeuser predecessor.
Uh-huh.
That did that.
Before Weyerhaeuser.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it was a truck there, road, though.
It was trucks.
Wow.
We know nothing about that. It was a small job, and it was some old growth